Think about this.
Our brains change.
Memory is an amazing.
What you think is in
our
there
brains
is
aren't
really
finished. They're not fully cooked yet.
You go with your heart.
We don't have any idea why
we're
doing
so smart.
Most of the things that we're doing.
But here's the deal.
Isn't it John Lennon who told the story of, you know, when he was younger, his mom said to him that the purpose of life was to be happy. And then he went to school and the teacher said, what do you want to be when you grow up? He said, happy. Teacher said, I don't think you understood the question. And he said to her, I don't think you understand life.
I'm Art Markman.
I'm Bob Duke.
I'm Rebecca McEnroy, and this is Two Guys on Your Head. Today, we'll continue our discussion of the psychology of the storyline with a look at the myth of happiness.
Many of the things that we pay attention to in our society in the way of accomplishment and goal setting and all those kinds of things, most of those metrics have to do with achievement of goals without really addressing how we feel about not only achieving those goals, but how we feel just on a day-to-day basis. And as long as, you know, issues related to well-being and happiness are not the metrics that we're paying attention to, we're going to work in toward a lot of goals that even when we accomplish them aren't really satisfying and aren't really leading to our long-term happiness.
It's interesting, right? If you think about the way that we tell stories, though, I mean, to loop this back, stories are all about the events that happened, the interactions between people, the successes that emerged out of that. And then at the end of the story, you say, and they lived happily ever after, when you never cared before that how people were doing, really. This is your way of saying nothing else of interest happened after this, but at least they were happy.
Yeah.
The climax of a story is never, and then they were pretty happy. No, it's they did all this stuff and they took over a company or they won the war, you know, and then, you know, as a side effect, they were sort of happy, but it wasn't the goal.
And, you know, I think that set of metrics leads many people to make life decisions that really don't increase their well-being and happiness, because they're thinking that there are other things that are more important and somehow have been taught that through
many years
of living in a society.
It's actually worse than that. Because, you know, what we know about striving towards goals is that in order to have the energy to strive towards a goal, you have to be dissatisfied with your life as it is right now.
Yeah.
So to the extent that we create stories that focus people on striving for future success, we are telling people that the appropriate orientation to the present is dissatisfaction, you know, and that at some point you'll achieve your goal and then you'll be happy. But of course, the only way to do that is to then be at the end of the story and say, and they lived happily ever after, and therefore aren't going to do anything anymore because you're not striving for anything anymore. And that buries a cultural value in it. It buries the value of achievement. It says what matters is achieving the thing, is the striving and achieving, and the creating a life that is fulfilling, enjoyable, and satisfying. That's not so important. You got to be striving to the next great thing.
Yeah.
And the number of stories that we tell of disillusionment, right? That are part of this, where someone strives and strives and strives to get all of the things that they're supposed to get, and then it turns out they're not happy. Is that recognition that we, because we haven't spent much time as individuals or as a culture, or frankly, even as a science, really understanding the kinds of things that do make people happy, we make an assumption that if you achieve this whole set of goals that are culturally prescribed, that at the end of the day, that's going to be the thing that allows you to live happily ever after, because it would be a shame to get to the end of that story of all that striving and all that achievement, and then to say, and they live together in misery for the rest of their days.
Or to say, and their life was pretty much the same as it was before.
And because they were lucky enough to have a moderately happy set point, they were a little bit above average for the rest of their days.
You know, I don't know if I told you this story. This is the first time that Judith and I went to Hawaii, which was like in 98 or something. I don't know, you know. And we were, the hotel we were staying in, there's a table down the bottom. I said, if you go look at a timeshare, you get these half price on a helicopter ride over Kilauea, and then half price on like a submarine ride, like a real submarine. So anyway, so I said, well, look, we're here for 10 days, only 2 hours. Let's just go to the thing. So we go to this timeshare, that's not by the beach. It's up on a hillside, you know. And so when we got assigned the swim, I said, look, I have to tell you this, because I don't want to waste your time. We're just here for the helicopter tickets. I mean, we're not going to buy anything. We're really not interested. I just want to feel like I want to be honest with you. So no, that's all right. It's fine. Everything. So she's driving us around and we show all the things, you know, and then we get back to the end and, you know, it's time to buy a timeshare. I said, you know, we're not going to buy a timeshare, you know? And so I asked her, I said, when did you know that we really weren't going to buy a timeshare, that we really weren't going to put down any money? And she said, well, pretty soon after you got here, and not because you told me, is you just, we both look too happy. You know?
Yeah. To coin a phrase, every happy family is the same.
So, that's right.
No, but I mean, I think there's deep insight.
Yeah.
There, right? I mean, that in fact, you know, what is the tolerances that are required in order to live a fairly content life are pretty narrow.
Yeah.
And not interesting from a narrative standpoint. You know, you've got to have what you need and want what you have.
Yeah.
And that allows you to feel a degree of contentment with this situation that you're in.
Yeah.
But who wants to read about that?
Next week, we'll look back on 7 years of producing Two Guys on Your Head with the one and only engineer extraordinaire, David Alvarez, who is retiring from a long and storied career at KUT. David Alvarez is usually our engineer, and I'm Rebecca McEnroe. I produce Two Guys on Your Head for KUT Radio in Austin, Texas.